All kind of encouragement before I came up here, I got to tell you. My son-in-law comes over and he says, "Now remember, this is the last thing that everybody's going to hear before they go home, so don't screw it up." With a son-in-law like that, whatever. And last but not least, our exalted leader here, as people claim he is, says to me, as he hands me the mic, "I still love you." This is going to go down fast. So, wow. This is interesting this morning. I had to share with you what happened last evening. Actually, I'm going to go back a little bit. Jay sent me a text, he said, and I didn't see it. Sometimes I see a number on my phone I don't recognize. I just delete it or tap it fast and send it to whatever. And then he sends me an email and he says, "Hey, I didn't hear from you via my text. Would you be willing to close the camp out on Monday?" And so I said, I think he gave me the text. And I thought the text said 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. So I read it and I went, "Whew, you sure you want me to close out the camp and the text? Wow, go for it." So I sit there with my wife last night. Rick comes up here to fill in for Jay. And he goes to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starts reading verses 1 through 12, and I look at my wife and go, "Hey, he's doing my text." And I get a text from Luke saying, "Hey, isn't this your text?" And my heart goes, just like a rock. Oh, no. And Rick had just got done telling y'all how he'd messed up, his fault, thought he had a certain text. He speaks, he gets up here, starts doing my text, and I mean, wow. I am in the same boat as he just talked about. Thanks a lot, Rick. By the way, I'm going to check and see how you preached my text. Anyway, so that's how this whole thing started. So I was up rather late last night, scrambling, in the words of Mr. Vaught. So we're both a couple of scrambled eggs, I guess, huh? Anyway, my text that I really looked at what I was supposed to do, is in 1 Thessalonians 1. So if you would turn there with me, please. Six through 10, but I'm going to grab some context before that, verses 2 on into 10. "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. So the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." I'd like to have this message prayed for by a dear... I'm going to start crying, man. I'm really emotional this morning. I'd like Luke Wilson to come up here and pray for this message. I think I broke this already.
Oh,
okay. Just got to be careful with it? Okay. This guy really encouraged me last night when he needed it. I want you all to know he said he loves you.
I didn't say still. I always do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do love you. We're so thankful, Father, for all you've done for us. That you have rescued us and delivered us from this present evil age. Father, we're thankful for your words that do perform their work in us who believe. Father, I'm appreciative for my brother Kevin. Just his example of steadfastness and faithfulness You've been my friend, Lord, through really good times and through really tough times. How appreciative for him. Lord, I ask that you give him confidence today to speak your word, to speak it the way that you want it proclaimed. And that, Father, we would come out of this camp with the right mindset, ready to truly do your work. Lord, may you be glorified, most of all, through this message, through this camp, and through our lives as we head out of here. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Am I on, Tim? Okay. Thank you. All right, thanks again for all you going to give the attention this morning to the message. I am in the process of trying to rehabilitate my image. My son-in-law spoke about image this morning, and it seems like I get blamed for a lot of stuff here at family camp. And if you will notice this year, I've been trying to hold my tongue. I just gave it to Jerry because he opened the door, and he gave it right back. So, but if you notice, I haven't been saying much, and that's because, you know, I had my daughter's father-in-law, the outlaw over here, the guy in the hat, spoke about a guy in the hat. He's over here going, that's right, mm-hmm, yeah. And then to the right behind me is Lucas Necessary, who's now outside out there. And he's going, amen, amen. You know, and so I'm like, I don't have to say anything. These guys got it covered, you know. There we go. So anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to be before you guys. I really do consider this an honor. I'm known as being a dramatic guy, usually not the guy that cries, but I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I've been accused of being overly dramatic. I do get excited about this stuff. I really do, brethren. I know what it did. Gosh, in my life. Okay. Thessalonica. Let's talk about Thessalonica. A little bit about their city. Thessalonica was originally called Therma. There was hot springs there. About 315 B.C., Cassander, anybody remember a guy by the name of Cassander, one of the generals of Alexander? Well, he made it the capital city, and he renamed it Thessalonica after his wife, who was Alexander's stepsister. Today it is called Thessalonica or Salonica. It was a commercial military center filled with immorality and idolatry. Many would lose jobs there if they became Christians. It was a heavily union town as well, kind of a guild place. You'll see that, you know, in other places as reported in the book of Acts. Kind of like a Butte, Montana. You know, so that wasn't a swipe. I'm just being true. It's what Mary Elizabeth. Okay? So if they became a Christian, man, they would lose their job. They'd lose their job. So one other thing that you may not have been aware of in your understanding of Thessalonica and where it's located, the Canaan Peninsula there in Greece, is 50 miles south was Mount Olympus. Anybody remember what Mount Olympus was? If you knew your Greek mythology, which we had to take when I was in, we called it junior high then, eighth grade, we had to study that. Think about that. We had to study Greek mythology, but we couldn't say a prayer acknowledging one nation under God. But we could learn about Greek mythology. You know, all these gods, and we need to understand that, you know, as we go through and take a look at the main section, which I was given, assigned by Brother Jay, about this group of people in Thessalonica that in 3 weeks plus, as Brother Jerry brought out in his original message Friday night, became the type of people that we see here, imitators. That's pretty impressive when you think about it. So this church, along with the church in Philippi, seem to be two of the churches in Paul's letters that tend to be the ones that are praised, generally. They had some issues, but generally they're praised. Most of the other churches are a chocolate mess, and Paul's working on all the issues in those places, Corinth being one of the most prominent that we know of. But they were generally doing okay. So this would be a church that we could say we could model ourselves after, since they imitated the apostles. Well, how about let's just say they imitated the apostle Paul, Silvanus, also known as Silas, and Timothy. they would be a congregation that I think we would be able to say we could imitate. Would that be fair? Would you guys think that would be fair? Mark Miller, is this how you do it? Everybody see that? Okay. Yep. Come on. All right, there we go. It's going to keep happening until you do it right. I'm not as merciful as Mark, okay? Model church worth imitating. So that Greek word is the Greek word mimeomai. It's our English word mimic or mimeograph. Comes from that. And one thing to understand, I checked with our resident Greek scholar, Tim McHenry. And, you know, when you have a masculine Greek word that kind of carries a feminine ending, if I got this right so far, Tim, is our, you know, my 2 years in Greek that I actually took the opportunity to learn. It carries an idea of, you know, not just to mimic something, but it carries the idea of imitation, a concept of imitation, that you're imitating something as a whole, okay? So you need to understand that. When it says, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, they have grasped a concept, brethren, and they have run with it. Does that sound vaguely familiar? They have grasped a concept and run with it. What is the new creation? It's a concept, amen? And Brother Jay saw that in the Scripture, said, wow, this is what's been missing. I'm going to run with it. And he received universal acceptance and accolades, right? Yeah, okay. You want to come up and finish the message? Come on. Anyway, we know he got resistance, right? I'll tell you why. I've been to prayer clinic in 1997 with Jay, and at that time it was Miss Lori, now Mr. Shanahan, I was with Luke. I met some of the brethren, some of the Clark boys, and I think Dad, Dusty. I don't know if Dusty and Rex are even still here, are they? Did they leave? They left this morning, okay. Anyway, I met those guys on that trip, but we went back and I heard some good messages actually preached until they got to the end. Jay Wood, okay. Remember a guy from New York got there and delivered a pretty good message. He used kind of a rope as part of his prop for his message. And he gets to the end and I'm like, hey, that's a good message. You know how he ended it? He called on Prophet Yabut. You guys go, huh? It always goes like this. Yeah, but we're black-hearted sinners. See, they call on Prophet Yabut. Yabut says, we're black-hearted sinners. That's how I ended it. It didn't matter what he said before. His message stunk because he ended it that way. You notice that these guys didn't believe that it was something not possible. When Paul came and they taught this for three Sabbath, these guys became imitators of Paul, and Paul had said to the Corinthians, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Boy, he was arrogant. No, he wasn't. He was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, amen? He was. He was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Hey, you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Yes, thank you. Some people are listening. Brethren, can we do this? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Yeah. Remember you said that. I believe it. Now, one thing we want to understand about these guys, let's go back to Acts 17 real quick. If you're going to emulate or imitate the Thessalonians, here's one thing I like about them. Acts 17, and this was read by Jerry as well, I think, in his message early on Friday night. Verse 1. Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, then joined Paul and Silas along with a great multitude. Now, catch this of the God-fearing Greeks. I've often wondered, how did that happen? Synagogues, God-fearing Greeks. Must have been in it. And the number of the leading women. It seems like the message was such that I see people congregated outside the kind of overflowing type of a picture to me. outside the synagogue. Maybe it was all inside the synagogue. This is my picture. Well, what does it matter? What I'm getting at is if we're going to emulate them, you notice that they were persuaded by what, brethren? By the Scriptures. Did you hear what Brother David said earlier? If you're going to get this thing figured out, you better follow the Scriptures and the Scripture alone and check out what it says. See, now it says that Bereans were more noble-minded. They checked the Scriptures to see what was being said to so. But you'll notice there were a group of Thessalonians here that were persuaded by the Scriptures. Do you know what the root word is that we get for faith in the English? It's the root word pistō. You know what that word means in the Greek? To persuade. Faith is you've been persuaded. And it is based upon evidence and proof. You guys don't understand why Jay wrote that book? Proof that the Bible is the Word of God? Do you really understand that? If you don't believe the Bible, when I ask you, do you really believe you can imitate? You will say no. Why do you think the giant majority of the marketplace that calls itself Christianity says they're black-hearted sinners because they do not believe the Bible is the Word of God? I don't care what they say. They don't believe it. Now, when Brother Jay taught this, and it was taught to me, and I said to myself, you mean there's really victory? Not just right and wrote. By right, I mean R-I-T-E. Writes and wrote, do things by rote, do things by right. You know, I came out of a Lutheran fraternal organization, as I refer to it. I refuse to give them that C word. Okay? They would say every Lord's Day, before we would take the Lord's Supper. Now listen to this. We confess that we are in sin and cannot free ourselves. Now, this is supposedly a Christian saying that. I thought it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Yeah, that's Galatians. Oh, that's right. They kept them preaching primarily in the Gospels. You know, they were assigned texts they had to preach out of in the Lutheran church. They've expanded a little bit more. They'll let them go into Romans. They'll never touch James. Never. Never heard a message about the book of James in the Lutheran church, ever. That's a book of story, you know, because it talks about if you have no work, you have no faith. Oops, can't have that. Because we confess we're in sin and we cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. See, this thing's burned in deep. I'll never forget it. But I use it now to tell you, people that claim to believe in God and supposedly the Word of God will say those kinds of things. How do you suppose the Holy Spirit has taken that? If we as Christians started to say that on a regular basis, do you think you'd grieve the Holy Spirit? Do you think you'd quench the Holy Spirit? He could say, I'm out of here. I don't produce this. Do you need this? What have I done? Okay. We have a momentary technological glitch, probably caused by this operator. Okay. All right. So they imitated Paul, Silvanus, Timothy. But I've been carrying a mantra around for a lot of years, and I joke with Jay about it. He says he's got six messages. I got one. Okay. I just percolated it down. It's real easy then, like when you forget or do the wrong text. Create a message, you can go back and hey, I can do this one. And then I actually read this and went, wow, this is the perfect example of what I tell people in our assembly. And Billings, I say, really, Billings? No. Come on, Billings. Jesus? No. Come on, Billings. No. Who you are in Christ? No. Your purpose. Go and read the text. They knew who they were. Because they were imitating Christ because they knew who Christ was, right? What does it say was going on? Their faith had sounded forth everywhere. They knew their purpose, didn't they? What a great, great opportunity. So when I first sat down, started looking at this, I said, well, at least I got that going for me. I can do my mantra, you know. Know Jesus. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know your purpose. So, the other thing. Just as Paul came there preaching and had gone through much affliction, when he left and the affliction arose on them, didn't cause them to compromise. It didn't shut down their passion. Persecution should never shut down your passion. Well, that's why you're sitting there like that. Looks like you got a furrowed brow. It's giving you a bad time, bro. Oh, okay. I don't want Russ coming after me after the message. You know, I think of Big John. Big John with one swing in that mighty right hand. Sent Kevin to the promised land. There I go. No. All right. Russ, I do that in the assembly. I'm not picking on you. Well, he's giving me the full breath. I'm working this direction, okay? But like Paul, they didn't compromise in the face of persecution or tribulation. Tribulation, you ever get that word, affliction, all the same. I'm not even going to try and do that fibulous, whatever. Fibulous, I can look back at Timmy smiling at me. But really what the root there means is it's a narrowing and pressure. Do you guys feel a narrowing of what's acceptable and pressure? See? Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Remember, I said you believe, you can imitate. This is coming. We're going to find out who really believes, brethren. As this thing gets ratcheted up, we're going to find out who really believes. That includes this guy. Includes me. I'm not, separated from that. I'm not above that. All right, and then they had to choose Christ over culture, didn't they? A couple things I want to bring up. Christ over culture. In case you didn't know who that was, that's Lucas Necessary. You need to have Lucas in the assembly because it's necessary that he be there. Okay. How about joy of the Holy Spirit? They haven't received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now we know joy from the Holy Spirit. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? But this is joy of the Holy Spirit. Let me see. Paul would have come and talked as much as he could in 3 weeks. I think that would be the whole counsel of God, as much as he could get out there, as he says later on in the book of Acts. But what do you think they thought? Now remember, where were they located? Thessalonica. What was 50 miles south? Mount Olympus. All those gods. And look, they believed that stuff was real. They really did. So they're in fear of these gods. Here comes Paul. That's nothing. Here's a real God. And by the way, he's going to come and he's going to actually live in you. So they turn to God later on in the passage, right? So we know what we can prove, right, in the Scripture. Turn to God, I mean, they're immersed into Christ. What happens when you're immersed into Christ? Well, I become a member of the local church, right? Forgiveness of sins, amen? All right, that's it, right? That's what most churches of Christ out there teach. Remission of sin. Get remissions of sin. They missed the big one. What's the big one? Indwelling Holy Spirit. Right? Is it good for me to remind you of these things? Yeah. Paul said, it's good for me to write these things to you again. It's no trouble for me and a safeguard for you. In Billings, you know what we do? About every 2 or 3 years, we go back to the basics. I'm on schedule. Every time I love it. Every time. Drives my taproot of faith deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Here we go again. Going to prove these things so I know. Well, it's the joy of the Holy Spirit. I think they knew who they had dwelling in them. What are these gods? Look at a pantheon of gods. One in which one? Oh, Zeus? No, is there a little power struggle between Zeus and this guy this week? What's going on? The true God is living in them. You think that isn't going to fire them up? Why do you think they were so excited, brethren, and could stand in the face of that persecution? The real, true God indwells me. I can do this. I can stand. What else did they know? It says here at the end of our text, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Hey, how do you know you belong to Christ? Nobody from Missoula nor Mark Miller can answer this because we all know every message they do there is from Romans 8. Is that what your congregation says, Mark? It's been a good message. Well, I get slanderously accused that every message I do, I can somehow turn to Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. Not every message, about 99 out of 100. Okay? But what I'm saying is they knew the Holy Spirit was the down payment, the pledge, the guarantee of their inheritance. Now, brethren, how often do you actually step back, think about the wrath to come? Any of you ever had a family member that died outside of Christ? I'll bet you everybody can raise their hand here. Do you like to think about where they're at and where their final destiny is going to be? That lake of fire? Going to go down, 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 that burning lake of fire. Right? It burns, burns, burns. A lake of fire. A lake of fire. That's my best Johnny Cash I can do. Okay? So, do you like thinking about that honestly? I had a grandfather I loved dearly. I'll never see him again, brother. Never. It's over. Never see him again. Grandmother I loved dearly. By the way, not from the same parent. One with a paternal grandfather, maternal grandmother. We tried. I never got a chance to talk to my grandfather. He died before I was even close to becoming a Christian. I was as dark as could be when he died. But my grandmother, we tried. Some of the family said, leave Grandma alone. You don't need to get her all upset over this. We tried. Didn't we, Kathy? We tried. Never see her again. Breaks my heart. I'm going to stop talking about it now. But that's the wrath to come. Now, remember, these are guys, Mount Olympus, God's going to strike you down. And they figured out it's a bunch of phony baloney, but there is a real God who's going to bring some wrath to come. And they're going to be delivered from it. That's pretty awesome. They get this figured out. This is the joy of the Holy Spirit. I'm delivered from the wrath to come. How about you? There's real wrath coming, brother. Man, I had a really good message for 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to share just one little point. Because I told Luke I had that message and I was really looking forward to using it. So I'm going to deviate for just a minute. The wrath. Talked about God was going to come. He's going to deal out retribution to those who deny Him and those who disobey Him. Retribution to those who do not know and do not obey the gospel. I said it was kind of, you know, this judgment that was going to come. I told I created this picture in my mind off of the Bobcat game last Thursday. I'm glad to hear the Grizzlies fell. But see, I got my Bronco shirt on. But they'll probably get thumped if they get to the Super Bowl by the Seahawks again. But if they get there, I doubt it. Just being real. Don't trust in horses and man things. Anyway, where I'm trying to go with this is on the game Thursday, the Bobcats, in the words, immortal words, where's Mike Martin? Is he hiding somewhere? Did he know where I'm going and disappear? Where is he? Oh, yeah, he's between the two posts. Perfect field goal kick coming at you, Mike. So, he told us, you know, that we played a school that was 2 years earlier was an all-woman teaching college. Is that right? Yeah. One game does not make a season, my friend. But anyway, the game Thursday, I was watching it. Upstairs are the Michigan fans. That would be Marshall, who's converted my daughter to a Michigan fan. But you still have the Bobcats right there. What? And don't look so innocent, Marshall. So, all right. I know I'm dragging this out because I don't have much of a message. Anyway, there was a hit in that game. Luke, did you see the game? You were there. Well, there was a Big Mac attack. What happened is Mac Bignell had about a 15-yard head of steam heading towards the running back from Lewis and Clark. Did you see that play, Luke? Wasn't that awesome? I mean, and you know, the Bobcats were playing like the Bob Kittens up to this point. They were really listless. They weren't. I was really worried about them. And anyway, here comes Mac Bignell. There've been about three or four generations of Bignells at MSU. Boom! Man, he hits that guy. It was just an amazing hit. Oh, you know, I mean, I was shocked. Is that kid running back okay? That was the first thing I thought. But I see the Bobcat sideline, and they're like, yeah, man, they're jumping up and down. Well, let me tell you, brethren, the Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ has had about a 6,000-year head of steam coming at Satan. Wham! Ooh, that's going to be a hit. But we see him coming, don't we? That ought to encourage you. That really encouraged me, and I was thankful that Matt Bignell gave me that illustration. If I ever meet the young man, I'll let him know. All right. Now, it says here that you became an example of all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the Lord has sent forth me not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. Your example, brethren, will be known. For positive or for negative. Let your behavior be excellent among the Gentiles. Amen? People know you. Now, I want to stop here. Now, I want to talk about personal experience for me. And this is, again, I've told this story before, and I'm always a little worried that people are going to think I'm up here bragging. But I want to just use me. Others have had this experience, I'm pretty sure. But if you keep your behavior excellent, if you are fully convinced that this is real, all right, you will overcome circumstances. I have, for the majority of my life, been a pretty negative guy. I know you guys sound amazing now, but if you don't think that's true, just go ask my wife. I always give her the permission to tell people, tell them the truth about me. Okay? You know, Brenna might even remember some of those days. She's fairly young, but I became a Christian when she was little. But anyway, I just became a pretty negative guy. Now, but I became a Christian, man. I had purpose. This thing was real. I mean, I was meeting people like you guys. This is about 20 years ago. I mean, I'm like, wow, this people believe this. Man, this is great. And I'm being built up. Well, I'm working at a place called Conlon's Furniture. And I worked with a gal by the name of Terry Sloan that was the office manager. And Terry was, you know, Terry was who I used to be, honestly. I would come in on Mondays when she would have the weekend off. There was a young gal that worked the weekend. Terry would come in on Monday and she'd just be angry because the young girl would do nothing all weekend. I probably told this story here once, I think. But, and I would do what I could to control her and try and lift her up. Hey, is there anything I can do to help you? You know, whatever I could do. Well, and I would tell Terry's pithy little Christian-like statement, maybe quote scripture here and there, you know, do you work hard for the Lord rather than for men, Terry? Now, you got to understand that, you know, you've got to work for somebody higher power. You know, use all the terminology to get them to think things. Well, after about a year, I'm standing on the sales floor in Collins Furniture, and Terry comes out, and it was almost like I could audibly hear her come, and when she stopped next to me, it's like there was a, you know? I think that's the way I remember it. Maybe that's the drama in me. But anyway, she came up, and she stands next to me, and she goes, okay, here's the real thing. I want what you got. Would you guys love to have somebody say that to you? Now look, she said it to me, but who got the glory? Who was I imitating? Jay Wilson. No, I wasn't. I was imitating Christ to the things that all of the guys had told me and taught me up to that point. Imitating Christ. She came up and said that. Fast forward to Hart's Furniture. Now, I didn't tell Mike I was going to tell this story. Is it okay, Mike? Thanks. Okay. Anyway, I'm working at Hart's Furniture with a couple of guys, Mike and a guy named Gordy. I'll leave Gordy's last name off. But we, three amigos. I go play golf. I do all these things. Hang out with these guys. I like them. And I'm always talking to them about, you know, things of Christ. And you know, I can remember a lot of conversations we had. Play golf with them. I mean, Mike was being Mike back then. And I actually had my eyes more on Gordy than Mike, truth be known. But, because Gordy seemed more godly. But, anyway, Mike's life took some sudden changes and turns. And then went bad. And Mike knew who I was because I'd been consistent. Always bothering him, you know. He told me, there he goes again. But when trouble hit, guess who Mike came and saw? Came and saw me. And to pray for me. I didn't say, no, you're an absolute pagan. Get away from me. I said, he wasn't an absolute pagan. A bit of a partier. But he wasn't an absolute pagan. I said, sure. I said, how about we go in the back right now? You remember that, Mike? Off the sales floor we go. Back into the back to pray. I don't care what I was going to mess on the sales floor for. Say, oh, I didn't care. I'm going to pray with Mike. I got an opportunity. And then, over time, we got the opportunity to do other things, to study with Mike. And then, we all met Katya through Steve Doty and Jay, right? And Katya and I started communicating via email. I don't even remember how that all started. Katya kept telling me she wanted a Christian man. So Mike gets converted. And, you know, not immediately after Mike got converted, but long story short, Mike ends up getting to meet Katya. And I remember Mike, when you approached this guy to talk to him about Katya? I do. You remember that, Jay? Yeah. Now, don't you go over. Jay kind of half-scolded Mike. This is real. It better be real. You know, kind of, you better be doing this right. I remember that. And I was in the back about 15 feet, and I'm watching the body language going, ooh. So, and Mike comes back like, but you know what it led to? Katya and Mike emailing a meeting. And I remember I told Katya, I'm going to pray for you, Katya, my wife and I. I still keep those emails in my inbox file, by the way. Never got rid of them, Katya. And when Katya met Mike and they finally got married, I said, Katya, you and Mike are an answer to a prayer. Living proof, the power of God. Work in prayer. Right over there, brother. Right there. What's this all about? Well, the Word of God sounded forth, didn't it? In all places. That Greek word is like a blast, according to Tim McHenry, but I read in the online concordance that it's like rumbling, you know, that just keeps echoing. We have thunderstorms in Billings that far supersede yours here. You want to know how I know? My son, who lived here, lived down with us for the last 2 months in Billings. He said, man, you guys have thunderstorms there. You know, it rumbles and it shakes the house. It's probably nothing like what you guys get in Indiana and Ohio, you know, Michigan. But in Billings, that's pretty... But picture that. This message goes out, and it's rumbling. And that word sounded forth is a word where we get echo. What does an echo do? It duplicates the sound. Doesn't it? Same thing as it rolls along, right? What do we got here, brethren? We got a picture that sets to duplication, duplication, duplication. That's what we got. Imitation, example, word, sound, and force. Duplicate, 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 duplicate. What's our purpose? Duplicate, 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 duplicate. Boy, say that 5 times fast. That's what this message is. This is duplicatable. Does that sound vaguely familiar to something this guy said for a long time? Guess what? He stole it from the Scripture. Guys, I can't do enough to encourage you to really understand who you are. Davis tried to do it a little bit before me. And Davis, that was an awesome message. Really well done. You should have been last. You should have had the song and dance man first and then had the straight man last. You know. But, brother, do you know who you are? Do you know your purpose? Do you? Maybe that's why Jay put me up here, because he knew I was going to say this. I don't know. Last night I was really worried. I was going to put together a message that would encourage you. I'm telling you, I was really worried. I got encouragement from two of my favorite guys. I mean, all the guys in Billings are my favorites. They really are. I love them all. But, you know, Mike put a lot of time in with personally. He encouraged me when he found out what, you know, I had the wrong test. Luke kept trying to encourage me, trying to encourage me, and I wanted to be down, down, down. You know? He wouldn't let me go down. Thanks, Luke, man. Thanks, Mike. You guys are wonderful. Wonderful guys. And you know, I got to give my last props to the one who never gets enough appreciation from me. I'm trying not to cry, guys. Hang in there. My wife. She's trying hard, and I just wouldn't let her. Shame on me. Guys, you can do this. We can do this. Amen?
Amen.
We can be imitators. We can be examples. All right? And I want you to understand something. These guys, when they were sending forth the sound of the word of the Lord is sounding forth on them, you know it says from them. It doesn't say from one guy or two guys. This was not a solo or a duet effort. This is all of them. All of us can do this. Amen? What are we going to do when we leave here? Well, how about we just do this? Oh, I'm in the wrong spot. I better get to the right. You're reading the wrong book. Next thing you know. 1 Thessalonians. No, that was 2 Thessalonians 1, right? No, 1 Thessalonians 1. So the word of the Lord is sounded forth from who? You guys say it. The word of the Lord is sounded forth from who? Come on. The word of the Lord is sounded forth from who are you guys? You! That's what's going to happen when we go out of here, right? The word of the Lord is going to sound forth from you. Not only in Montana and Wyoming. That's for you, Lucas. But also, in every place your faith toward God has gone forth. Hey, Ohio! In Michigan! Indiana! Oh, that's right, I'm over here. How about you guys? I like to remind my son-in-law and his father, dear Mike, who I love dearly. We have fun with one another. We tease one another, but I know we love each other. I love you. Mary Jo, you're awesome. But I tell these guys, you know, that way back Neil Young wrote a song because he knew that it would be sung by the church someday. You guys know that song, right? God so desire, Lord is coming. Right? You guys know that song? No? You guys don't know that one? They're all too young. All right, years ago, it was a song called Ohio. It was about the four kids killed in Ohio. Brother Jade remembers. But basically, I tell Ohio, God's children, our King is coming. We'll soon be heading on home. But I hear His Spirit crying, there's more dead in Ohio. There's more dead in Ohio. Right? You guys should burn that into your brains and sing it every assembly. You know, I ain't got one yet from Michigan, but Indiana, you're easy. I fought the law and the law won. Right? I fought the law and the law won. So we're new creations, right? We're not under law anymore. If I ever get one from Michigan, I'll let you know, Brother Steve. We're getting requests now. Okay. Now look, they echoed what they heard. They heard, go make disciples, they made them. They heard your new creations, they imitated. They were an echo. Brethren, who are we today? We are echoes. A lot of us are echoes because of this man right here. You know, he brought the word. He taught somebody before us. I'm his grandson. I've told him that. He had influence on a guy by the name of Mark Badiger, who eventually, my wife and I came into contact to put our beloved daughter, Brenna Claire, get her out of the government school system, into the Christian school system. That's how we met Mark. Jessica Jay had influence on Mark at that time. Mark taught us. I'm his grandson. Hey, Papa. That's the real Papa, okay, to me. Not some guy sitting in a chair in Rome. That's my personal Papa. He's my grandpappy now. One I lost in the flesh, gone. I got one in the spirit that I know he'll remain faithful. It's just a matter of me remaining faithful. We'll see each other in heaven again. We'll recognize each other. And Jay, we're going to be 25 years old again. Well, no tears. no pain. Got to be 25, right? Anyway, go make disciples. Don't let the persecution sap your passion. Now, let me see. I got one other last thing I want to see. They turned from idols to God. Now, remember, you guys just judge what this would have been like for the people in Thessalonica with Mount Olympus down the road to turn from idols. How entrenched was that? Well, how entrenched do you come out of our culture today? And don't tell us we don't worship idols, brethren. That is a flat-out lie. I'm not talking about Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. We're going to go through the names. You know, Dakota Poopcup. You know, that's what I'm talking about. We worship two idols every year faithfully in this country. Anybody have an idea what I'm talking about? Two idols faithfully every year. That's a big clue. How about that big rotund guy in a red suit with a beard? Ho, ho, ho! And away you go into the fiery dark black hole. Ho, ho, ho! Right? Does our culture not worship that guy? Tell me we don't. You just try and tell me we don't. And then what about that rabbit that produces those multicolored eggs that turn magically into chocolate? Right? Oh, no, we don't worship that in America. Well, let me see. One takes the day of Saturnalia, a Roman pagan, extremely immoral event, calls it Christ's birthday. And the other one tries to take the place of one of the key events in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is idolatry. That's the power of Satan. And I'm kind of with Elmer Fudd. Kill the rabbit. Kill the rabbit. Kill the rabbit. Last holy rabbit. You know, I'm making fun, brethren, but I want you to think about that. Now, you got to deal with those two issues with your children. How are you going to deal with that? What are the real issues? The neighborhood kids are all going to see Santa Claus. Where are your kids going? Oh, we're going to go get a picture taken with the bunny rabbit. Easter rabbit. You know, I mean, what are you going to do about that? Well, if you like the Thessalonians, right? Now, you're going to have to make your own mind up on that. I'm not saying anything about any of the other stuff. I'm just saying, what are you going to do in your household with those? So they had to turn away from idols and then they turned to God. So we know that's when they were immersed into Christ, received forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then they were waiting. But what were they doing while they were waiting? Were they on their lounge chair? Were they sitting on their couch? You know, I preached on this once before. You know, there's a real good dad in the household playing the couch potentate, not the couch potato. Say, you go do that. Get me this. You sit down. Go over there. Right? Nothing but a couch potentate. Well, that's not what you're supposed to be. It says right here, for they themselves report about us what kind of reception we have with you and how you turn to God from idols to do what? To serve a living and true God. And I am almost done. To serve a living and true God. While we're waiting for Christ, what are we supposed to be doing, brethren? Well, you guys said that really quietly, like I hope he doesn't hear this. Serving? Serving? Right? Serving? Serving? Service? Now, what do priests do? Service? Service? Right? Now, what's the function of the local assembly? You read it. You read it. You remember what you read in Ephesians 4? For the what? Equipping of... What are we doing here today? Well, we're burning 4 hours before we get out of here at noon, right? We're being equipped for the work of service, brethren. See, this isn't about Luke doing it and doing. This is about Mark Miller doing it in Missoula and Spokane. And, you know, hey, I heard great things about Blake. I don't know where Blake is. I don't see him. Where's Blake? Where's he at? I don't see him. Way to go, Blake. You know, I heard great things about Tim Daniel in Missoula. Well, I hear great things about a lot of you guys, but it isn't Jay's deal here in Bozeman, right? He's got Jason doing things behind the scenes. He's got all kinds of people doing things behind the scenes. And Steve, I just looked at these cameras and I couldn't agree with you more. They're like, wow. I just noticed them, really. You know, but what are you guys doing? What are you doing in your local assembly? Are you serving or living? And do you believe He's the true God? See, if you believe this stuff, you're going to do exactly what the Thessalonians did here. Let's turn to God. You're going to serve. Tyler and Marina, man, I love you guys. Just for your personal job. New Christians. Rich Wallace. What an awesome guy. John Morantic preached a message a long time ago about CMAs, concrete masonry, or CMUs, concrete masonry units. And he said, hey, that isn't what it is. He said, it's Christian masonry units when he's talking about building a temple. You remember that, John? You thought I never heard it, didn't you? How long ago was that? 10, 12 years ago? Messages stick in my head. They stick in yours. By the way, what did Marshall preach this morning? He preached the image. Let me see. What do I say? Have I been saying for a long time, Marshall? Know Jesus. Know who you are. Come on, Marshall. Say it with me, bro. Come on. I wonder where you heard that. Probably heard it from your dad, too. Look, brethren, we're having a little fun this morning, right? We can have joy in the Holy Spirit, can't we? We can have joy in the Holy Spirit. But this thing is, it's real. It's real. I'm glad that I figured out I had the wrong, I'm glad that I figured out I had the wrong text. I got to preach this to you because it fell right into my lap. I still struggled with it. I got to be honest with you. Getting it all put together. Worried I'd get it put together right. But I had Luke, Mike, and my wife encouraging me. Thank you, you guys. Thank you, Donna. Dear, I told you I don't tell you I love you enough. I love you. You know, one of those guys on the day of their wedding, told you I loved you on the day we were married, and I'll let you know if I ever change my mind. You know? I try and tell guys that when I marry them. You know, don't be this kind of guy. And then my wife is always quick to remind me, you told me you love me yet today? So, you know, guys, we have confidence, don't we? And I believe all you can imitate. All you. I don't care where you're at right now. All you can imitate. But you got to understand, you got to leave your culture behind. I don't care where you came from.
Right.
You've got to leave your culture behind. And you've got to say, it's Christ Jesus. The culture's gone. We all had to do that. I had to come out of a strong cultural pull in my personal family. I had to. And boy, there was tribulation. It's going to come. But you've got to leave that culture. You've got to say it's Christ. You've got to have the confidence that He's coming back. Because He was raised from the dead guarantees you're raised from the dead. You have the joy of the Holy Spirit in you. That indwelling says that you belong to Him. That's the guarantee that you're going home to your inheritance in heaven. And you've got to believe that. Now, are you, in your local congregation, are you and your local congregation a church that you can say, imitate us as we imitate Christ Jesus? Can you say it? It's a challenge from the Scripture. Billings, we can say it! We can say it! Bozeman, hey, the word sounded forth. You guys, look at, Jay has repeated, look at this. This is from the work, a lot of it in this congregation in Bozeman. Brethren, man, know who you are. Know your purpose. Know Jesus Christ. People say we're too good, crazy as a loon. We read the word in the morning, praise God through the afternoon. Kind of like this new heavenly man, like the glory that never fades. I ain't got no money, but I know my sins have been paid. I ain't asking this world for nothing. Think they can do it on their own. That's an old Charlie Daniels song, brother. I know Tim knows it. I caught him out of the corner of my eye, smiling back there behind. You know, back there behind the deal. But you got to love that Bible teaching, right? It says, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is on the throne.